everybody. Welcome. Heads up. So this next episode is our Star Wars special, the first part of it. References episodes 1, 2, and 3, the terrible ones.
Yeah, The Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, and Revenge of the Sith.
So we just want to give you a heads up. The very first part of this that you're going to hear, like the first big chunk, 45 minutes to an hour, is very angry, very rambly, and pretty drunk.
Yeah.
So just be forewarned, I guess. I kind of fucked that little phrase up.
I like forewarned better.
Yeah, be forewarned. We are also adding this right now. Stick around after that. We do break down the movies. We have come back in a more sober state and broken it down to, again, achieve the purpose of those episodes where you do not have to watch these movies because we did it for you.
Yes.
So, and that, here you go. It's our first Star Wars special.
Enjoy.
So that was the intro. Hooray! So hello!
Yippee!
Yippee! Hello, everyone. We are the Experience Grind Podcast, and this is a very special episode
of
the podcast. We are doing a special Star Wars special.
Setup.
Yeah, I don't know what you were going for there. We did not communicate beforehand. So,
nope.
Flying by the seat of our pants. Now this is pod racing.
Hey, it's a genuine rape fest.
Oh, my God. That's where you decide to pepper that phrase in.
I have no patience.
You lack an appreciation for subtlety.
I am like Anakin. Oh, I have no patience.
Wow, you kind of are.
I gotta get that rape fest in there.
So hello, I am your Hobo Jesus host, Kyle.
And I am not Hobo Jesus. I am, I don't know, Emo Moses Ryan.
Emo Moses? Wow, I like that. And this brings
I part the lady's legs. I feel like this has gone off the rails almost immediately.
Let's go ahead and explain why it's going off the rails. So this is a special episode where we're talking about Star Wars. But we are not only talking about Star Wars. This is episodes 1, 2, and 3 of Star Wars.
Oh, the bad ones.
This is a special thing. You know, episode 7 is about to come out very soon.
We are so excited.
And
even though we've been burned.
We.
Three times now.
We decided to watch all 6 movies for you people so that you do not have to. We're going to break things down for you. We're doing all the dirty work for you.
We are.
Today it was a marathon of 1, 2, and 3. It was, as you calculated, 7 hours.
Did you say you calculated?
I might have. We'll get into the race's undertones.
Oh, because there's
very
many.
Soon. Yeah, but you calculated that it was 7 hours that we watched these movies. Brian and I sat together for you, our listening audience, and watched episodes 1, 2, and 3.
And just to make sure for the people who might get confused, like the ordering system, this is The Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith, i.e. the bad ones.
Parentheses. The bad ones.
Yes.
So we did this for you, so you don't have to, and you can be caught up by the time this monumental blockbuster hits the
world. We'll tell
you
everything you need to know about the prequels. Here's a hint. They're bad.
And
they're bad.
We are saying this, and we both agreed. We're going to go into watching these first 3.
Yeah.
Looking for the good. We're going to find the good in these movies. Yeah. And God damn it, people, we did not.
There's so many podcasts, and there are so many people out there who hate the prequels. And, like, we get it.
Yeah.
They're not good. So we went in genuinely trying to find the good.
We wanted to make something good out of this. There are a few little nuggets, but overall, people, it is bad. We are absolutely doing you a favor. Do not watch 1, 2, and 3. You are not missing anything.
Nothing.
We have not yet got to 4, 5, and 6. We will. That will be a thing happens.
I like to think it's the reward.
Yes. That's why we did these first, because I feel if we did 4, 5, and 6 first, we would not probably watch these.
No.
And we had to grind this experience out. See what I did there?
Yeah, I do.
That's the name of the show, people. It's called the Experience Grind Podcast.
Like us on Facebook at Experience Grind. Give us an email at experiencegrindpodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter, Experience Grind. I think our first tweet was fart, which I found out today.
Yeah, I did that. That was me.
I know. Laura loved that.
Ah!
All right, so my wife, Laura, her anytime we play a game together, her name is fart.
That's awesome.
Just whenever. Fart or nuggets.
Because I just started playing Pokemon Red again, and I named my character Dildo.
Hey!
So, yeah. I totally love the naming of characters not...
Yeah.
Just stupid bullshit.
Yeah, how can you stick with the original names? Like, no.
I love that Laura names it fart. Laura, fucking kudos.
Number one fan, Laura.
I will, when we play this secret Final Fantasy episode upcoming, you have to name your character fart. I will follow suit. I've got some things planned. I know what my lovely lady, I'm almost guarantee you I know what she's going to name her character already.
Oh, it's going to be a surprise, huh?
It will be
the mystery and intrigue.
I'll go ahead and spoil it. It'll probably be the lady front fart.
The lady front fart?
Also known as the queef. I almost guarantee she will name the character queef. So anyways,
we'll have queef, God. Fart, and dildo.
I don't know if I'll go dildo. I might.
Then I'm going to need one.
You will have to do something. But
I'll have to think on this.
We'll get there. So if you can't tell, we're kind of stalling
because it's so hard to talk about these movies.
Oh my God!
And people. Not be so, just a total dick to Star Wars.
So let's start. Let's stall just a bit more.
Let's
keep this Band-Aid on. So a thing we like to do here on the podcast is ask a question, and then we like to have the other one answer. We like to discuss, you know. Things. I'm getting really off track here. Ryan's doing this dance from this incredibly funny YouTube video we saw earlier. He's breaking my concentration.
Blasphemy. I'm not.
He's getting into my head. So
up in the headspace.
We like to do these questions to try to, you know, explain who we are and where we're coming from. Just they're sometimes dumb. Sometimes they're inner soul searching. This one will probably be a bit dumb.
It ranges the gamut.
But I have picked this question, and, you know, peeling back the layers behind the scenes of the show, most of the time, Ryan and I know this question going in, so we can prepare somewhat of an answer.
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes.
This one you do not know. You have never heard, I have never asked you this question.
Okay. You have not.
I'm going to set this question up.
I don't know.
This question has been an argument between my core group of friends for over a decade.
Yes, Jar Jar Binks is worse. I marry Jar Jar, I kill Anakin, and I fuck Obi-Wan.
It's maybe worse than that. I would fuck Obi-Wan too, though. Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, right. Also, I said I'd marry Jar Jar. There's no fucking way.
You already said it, dog.
That was on worst improv.
It's on record.
I am the worst.
So... I am the one that originally posed this question over a decade ago. I asked my friends this, and I think my opinion might have shifted from my original response, and we will discuss this. We're going to hash this out, and
all right.
I don't fully know if you're going to grasp the weight of this question, because we are similar, we have a lot of the same interests, but we've never talked about an aspect of the question that I'm going to ask, and I'm asking it right
you
now.
You are building this up, so okay, I hope I don't disappoint with my answer.
The question is, and look me right here.
Looking you right in the eyes.
A lightsaber from the Star Wars universe. Could that cut... Goku from the from the Dragon Ball Z universe.
Are you fucking kidding? This is a question.
This is the question, man.
God damn it! God damn it! I'm walking out.
You can't walk.
This has been the Experience Grind with Kyle. Ryan is out. This is the question.
We have argued over this for over a decade. I want to see where you stand on this. It's Star Wars related. Could a lightsaber cut Goku
from Dragon Ball Z or Dragon Ball? In case you don't know,
Could it happen?
Yes.
You think it could?
Yes.
That's what I think, too.
Absolutely.
It could totally fucking cut him.
It's an impossibly hot weapon. Like you don't know, the degree of Celsius, how hot this thing is, but it cuts through anything in the Star Wars universe.
In the Star Wars universe.
But actually, no, it doesn't, because it doesn't cut through the handle.
How
does the handle contain it?
No, because the handle got cut in... Darth Maul's handle got cut off in episode 1.
It did. Yeah. You're right.
It handles
so
it because it refracts.
So it can cut through anything.
Yeah, it can cut through anything.
Right
as,
there.
As
done.
We noticed.
Argument
but
done.
But Goku gets blasted with laser beams and fireballs and all this shit. And so that's just... That's where I play devil's advocate, because I used to also think, like, absolutely. But then we get into this whole other level of bullshit.
I can't believe I looked into your eyes for this fucking question.
Like, who? Okay.
You motherfucker.
You are the tiebreaker, and you've just answered it for me. You have solved a decade of argument between my friends.
In fairness, it is not, it's not a question you can answer, because different universes have different rules.
Exactly, all that bullshit.
And it falls apart.
But
if you're saying a lightsaber can cut through anything.
Which they can, but, yeah. So, you say, and I'm not saying it would cut his arm off, but it would leave a fucking mark on Goku. It would fucking hurt him.
I would say it would cut an arm off, because this is in Dragon Ball, people get their arms cut off or ripped off or whatever.
A lot.
I'd say that's a very plausible thing.
So let's expand on this.
Goku is not invincible. He's super strong. His cells and like his skin is like very dense.
He is the Japanese Superman.
But not, well, and you know what? Guess what? Superman will get cut by a lightsaber too.
You really think so?
Yeah.
Huh. Now that is a question I have not thought about.
Because a lightsaber is
it's pure condensed energy of light. Like, I mean, it's fucking goddamn lightsaber.
Superman doesn't get his energy. He doesn't get his powers from energy. It's just a hot energy source that would cut through fucking Superman.
So, Superman fanboy.
Goku is below Superman,
that's what I want to hear.
Yeah, I think Superman would get cut with a lightsaber, too.
Superman would beat the shit out of Goku.
A lightsaber is a ridiculously powerful weapon that can cut through anything. So it would cut through Goku, and it would cut through Superman.
It's funny, I'm a giant Superman fanboy.
You are.
I've never posed this question as, could a lightsaber cut Superman?
I mean, I think that's the logical jump, because Superman is the strongest. He is stronger than Goku. He is the strongest being.
I would never, ever think that a lightsaber could cut Superman. I have to disagree.
So you don't?
No!
Ah!
I don't think so.
It's because you're a Superman fanboy.
I am a giant fanboy for Superman. I fucking love that dude.
Yeah. What if it was a green lightsaber filled with a kryptonite crystal?
It would cut the fuck out of him. Absolutely.
There's
no doubt.
There you go.
Mace Windu is wielding it. Fuck yeah, bro.
We've seen Mace Windu fight, which we'll talk about later, and he's a total bitch.
We've seen, he is in the movies. In the cartoon, he kicks so much ass. In the movies,
The movies are filled with total bitches.
I'm sorry, my question was a letdown. I just wanted this question answered.
I was just expecting grandiose ideas.
That's why I should have presented it to you beforehand.
Could a lightsaber beat up Goku? All right, well, I'll have a question next time. It's going to be, hey, is a pineapple better than an apple? What do you think? Because they're fucking different, and you can't compare them.
I think fart.
That should have been my answer. Fart / lady front fart.
You don't have to be so upset.
Lady front fart.
I told you you were defining the answer. You were solving a decade of strife between my crew of friends.
You have made me feisty.
It was.
But I think it's because of these movies.
It probably is. You are angry. You're not angry at me. You're angry at George Lucas, and you're taking it out on me.
Which we should all be. Everybody should be angry.
I will also add that this question was posed, if you can believe it, after many a night of drunken and stoned ramblings.
Oh yeah. Who does not think this question was born out of that?
God, I used to get so stoned to watch Dragon Ball Z, and it was good times, man.
I only watched Dragon Ball Z as a kid, and I've not experienced
I still it since I fucking then. Love Dragon Ball Z. I cannot wait to start experiencing this new series they've started.
You know what I've never done that I would really love to is go back into like the Dragon Ball Z's the Dragon Ball Z games that are being put out right now.
I would really like to play the new one. I've heard really good things.
Is it Xenoverse? Is that the new one?
And you build your own character.
Yeah. All right, so, I mean, there you go. We're both going to buy Xenoverse, and we're going to play through it.
Wow, okay. I like
that. PS4, we'll get it. We'll do it.
God, we are doing anything to not talk about these movies.
It's really hard. As hard as my hate boner for the rape fest that George Lucas accrued upon us.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and tell you people listening, if you haven't already picked up from the timestamp from iTunes, it's probably going to be a bit of a short episode, because
it's going to be a short episode, and there's going to be nothing but spoilers, because if you haven't seen these movies, you shouldn't, so we're not ruining anything. They're shitty movies.
I will stress to the nines, you should fucking thank us on all of our social media accounts that we watch these for you so you don't have to.
Yeah.
We are not lying. We went into these very, very positive. We're like, all right, we're going to find the good in this.
I think we were both very jazzed off like the Star Wars 7 trailers that have been being released. Like, we really wanted to like these. And in all honesty, too, like, I feel like I'm slowly taking the dick negging part of this aspect. Like, I think you are genuinely, like, loving of a lot more than I am. You're more tolerable. And you have a lot of fucking issues with these.
I am a giant Star Wars fanboy.
Yeah.
You know, you would love Star Wars too.
I do. I don't think I'm a fanboy for anything outside of the Marvel universe. I'm a Marvel fanboy. Yeah. That's about it.
I'm a big boner for Star Wars. I fucking love this series. Dude, there are people that dwarf me on a level that is monumental. And I am one of the biggest Star Wars fans that I know.
But you know yourself. Like, you are very well-versed, and you are knowledgeable.
Yeah, I know what's going on.
I think we both are, but you are very knowledgeable in this. So
I don't know if that's a compliment, but I'll take it. I mean,
it's a compliment. Yeah, it's a compliment.
I know a lot of bullshit about a totally fictional universe, but hey!
I think it's even worse. I know so much about Star Wars, and I'm not the biggest fan.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's even worse.
But you are a big... You do respect the genre... Especially those original films.
Oh, they're so good.
They're so good. You are excited about episode 7. We are seeing episode 7 together.
Well, I am a J.J. Abrams apologist. Like,
I love Abrams, man.
Don't even get me started on Lost and, like, all you can fuck right off about the ending of Lost.
Lost is the ending of Lost.
Fucking idiots.
Yeah, you're stupid. You do not know what's going on. It's not that
it's
bad.
It's good.
Yeah, you are just fucking dumb. We've never discussed this. Handshake right here.
You
Holy shit. Oh, absolutely. Oh, people that don't like the ending of Lost just want to be fucking cool. Like,
oh, my God.
It's the popular opinion.
Can you fucking believe that happened? That's so stupid. You don't know what's happening. You don't.
Yeah.
You don't.
I love Cloverfield.
Cloverfield's brilliant.
This is something that...
That's the best found footage film.
Absolutely.
There's no... I really like Chronicle, but like... Cloverfield is the best found footage film.
This is something that, you know, I wanted to hint on and I wanted to touch. I get very wrapped up in my media.
Yes.
When we were going to do Drive, I sent you a picture. I forgot it. I actually bought a pair of brown leather driving gloves.
You did?
Because of Drive. And I wear them if I'm driving anywhere over 30 minutes in length.
Ah, that's awesome.
I will fucking wear them. And if I'm murdering people, you goddamn know I'm wearing those fucking things.
I did that too, but because of James Bond, because of Daniel Craig had some gloves on once. I was like, I have to have those gloves. So I bought some in Korea.
So when Cloverfield was going on, I was in the midst of my Lost love. It came out, I think, around season 3 or 4. I don't know precisely, but it was in the
midst. When I got in. And then I caught up till season 4 when they moved the island.
So,
which I think people lost and like, that's fucking stupid. Oh, they're time traveling now.
Cloverfield came out during a time in the mid-2000s when anything that was coming out that was worth a fuck also had what is known as an ARG, or an alternate reality game, preceding it. And I followed a lot of ARGs. One of my favorites was this one. I also really enjoyed
the one for
Nine Inch Nails, Year Zero. That was the absolute best one.
See, I didn't
ever
get into that ARG.
Oh my
but
God.
I was in the Cloverfield ARG about the Slusho and everything. And
I have my fucking Slusho t-shirt, dude.
Falling into the ocean. And, like, I was so enraptured with this. Like, it caught. And the I Love Bees for Halo 2.
I did not follow that one.
I did.
I did not get into
that.
I found it at the end, and I was like, oh, this happened, but it. But yes, oh! I was into the Cloverfield one before it happened. I'm not lying.
My nerd heart. Kyle, I cannot high five your hand enough tonight.
There's high fives. Let's cheers to this.
Cheers.
Based
all right.
On the Andre champagne.
Holy shit, ARGs.
Yeah.
Nobody.
I love ARGs. I get into them very hardcore. But I'm not like, I have and own a Slusho t-shirt I bought because of the Cloverfield ARG. It says Slusho, I bet you can't have just one.
Yes.
I own that shirt. I'm too fat to wear it right now, but I will get back to that point.
I think that shirt was in Mission Impossible 3.
Really?
One of the characters wears a Slusho shirt. I think it's Matt Grunberg in like the party scene at the very beginning, because J.J. Abrams loves universe building.
Yeah.
I
love universe building, too. I love things that I can explore and go on and the internet and read about and give myself more of that. That's what I love, man.
So I'm very excited because I did not get the sense that you were like big into J.J. Abrams when we were talking about Star Wars 7 earlier.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love Abrams, man. I'm so on board. I'm so fucking pumped for episode 7.
I will tell you, my top 10s, my top 5s, which is whittled down, Super 8 was an alternative because...
Yeah, mine too. Super 8 was really good.
Love Super 8.
And here's another bonus. It's a monster movie. I love monster movies.
It's a monster movie, and it's a movie about kids making zombie movies, so it's like a love letter to that. It's so good.
Fuck your slasher. Fuck Freddy. Fuck Jason. Give me a goddamn monster.
Anytime.
Give me a fucking puppeted monster like a xenomorph or a predator.
Fuck that. Monsters are way more interesting.
God, they're so awesome and cool looking. All I've ever drawn when I doodle is monsters and dragons and weird shit.
I draw robots.
I paint robots. I have an entire series on robots. So.
Oh my god. This is... Alright, so some of our criticisms early on are that we are too similar.
We are so fucking alike.
We are nothing but proving that right now.
Deal with it, people. You're listening to the podcast, not us.
Yeah!
Let's bring this back, because goddamn it, we gotta talk about Star Wars.
God, I really don't want to. I know. You can tell we are, like, postponing this.
But we have to. Okay, so Star Wars Episode 7 is coming out December 18th.
Yes. Technically, December 17th is the early preview.
We have tickets for, I think, the 17th, as you told me today. If we do whatever, I'll take... I don't think I even have to take time off work. Anyway, whatever. What the fuck ever.
I'm skipping work to do on that day. But whatever day it is,
Episode 7 is coming out. It's a monumental thing. Abrams is directing it. It looks fantastic. But looks can be deceiving. Because Episode 1 looked fantastic.
That's
by
a brilliant segue.
By all indications. And
it did. The trailer, the marketing, the poster with Anakin, like little Anakin with his shadow being Vader, like it's, the marketing was so good. Everybody was pumped. This movie made so much money.
I waited in line for 14 hours to see Episode 1.
I just saw on the weekend and did not wait on line.
I've seen every Episode 1, 2, and 3. I saw all of them at the midnight release.
I don't think I've seen any of them on the
Episode 2 and 3, I went to see in costume.
As what?
As a Jedi.
Just a random Jedi.
I just had the robe, but I bought...
You were that homeless Jedi in Episode 2.
But I told you I was. I told you that was me. But no, as soon as Episode 1 came out, I have the biggest bone. I bought the Darth Maul lightsaber, the double-bladed.
Yeah. I bought all the toys, those little 4-inch figures. I had 3 different fucking Queen Amidala's and Padme's.
So please understand, audience.
We love Star Wars.
We went into this so positive. We watched all 3 today, and it was a grind. The most experienced grind usage of the phrase, we grinded this out.
I shouldn't have played my card so early. I should have just pretended that, like, I loved them and just fought you at every turn.
I'm not even going to deny it.
So hard.
I'm not going to lie. We got into Episode 2, and for an hour and a half of this movie, we just talked about anything else while the movie played.
It was pretty much any time there was dialogue between Anakin and Padme.
So let's start this off.
It's so bad.
We're going to get back to Episode 1.
We'll start in chronological order. Phantom Menace. We'll talk about the Phantom Menace first.
Phantom Menace. There are things that I like. There are things that you like. There are differences.
Yeah.
Let's hit the things that we like.
Going in, I thought Episode 2 was my least favorite movie. Okay. And then I watched Phantom Menace again.
Okay.
And I think Phantom Menace is my least favorite movie.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think there are many things good. And the good things come in the last 15 minutes of the film.
Yep.
It's bad. Like, from the get-go, we are introduced to Trade Federation negotiations and just this boring political talk. That means nothing. There are no dramatic stakes. Just shit. Like, Qui-Gon and Obi-Jin are...
Obi-Wan? You said Obi-Jin. Like
Qui-Gon-Jin and Obi-Wan.
Like he's in a vagina doctor.
This Obi-Jin. Oh, I fucking love that. The vagina doctor. Yeah. He's a Vajedi.
He's a Vajedi. Wow. God damn it.
This episode is brought to you by Andre Extra Jedi
Champagne. So
I'm losing it.
So where are we at in Episode 1?
The Trade Federation. Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon Jinn. What are they doing on the Trade Federation ship?
The Trade Federation is blocking trade from
Naboo. Are they in negotiations? Like, why are they there?
It's like it's negotiations in the sense that Tony Soprano negotiates, I think. It's intimidation. They send the Jedi to be like, hey, stop this blockade because you're going to get fucked up because we're the goddamn Jedi. That's and true. Then, but man, like, I had never picked up on this to watching this with you today.
Really?
I've never had. But man, the fucking Trade Federations are incredibly racist stereotypes of
Newt
Asians.
Newt Gunray is a super bad Asian stereotype.
Wow. Like, it is so fucking obvious now that I can't believe I didn't pick up on it.
I'm just gonna go ahead and do it. I'm gonna be racist because this film is, but like, they literally talk like, we must get all the Jedi right now.
You can totally
And we will go to right now. Like, it's the worst.
I cannot believe how racist these movies are. Like, and I'm curious now going into 4, 5, and 6 if we're going to get hints of that. I don't remember it, but...
You don't. I've all right, so I picked up on the racism in the first ones because we'll talk about this more, but it's very prevalent throughout the first three. It's not. It is not in 4, 5, okay. and 6.
Well, that's good to know. I haven't watched 4, 5, and 6 for a while. I'm excited when we finally get to those. It is the treat for you and I suffering through 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's hokey shit, but it's not objectively racist like it is in the first one.
There's
ones.
The racist against Asian Americans. And then, let's get this out of the gate. In episode 1, we are introduced to the character Jar Jar Binks.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with Watto.
No, we'll get to Watto.
See, and that's the thing. And you say, like, we're going to talk
order.
About this racist character, and I have
you don't
to
know
pick
who,
because
one?
There are so many.
So we get to Jar Jar Binks, who is a racist against African American and South African people. Like, so bad.
He's just offensive to my ears. Ugh. It's all right. So everything I hate about Full House is personified in this character. Cause we have disagreements about Full House. And it's mostly Stephanie, Tanner, and then Kimmy Gibbler. Is it Gibbler?
It's Gibbler.
I fucking hate those two characters. And Jar Jar Binks is the alien version of Stephanie Tanner.
And Kimmy Gibbler.
Excuse me. That's not Jar Jar Binks. What am I?
I don't know what you
I
doing.
Can't do.
Jar Jar Binks is how rude. How rude.
How rude.
Yeah, he keeps doing that. Like, all right. And again, you know, everybody has shit on Jar Jar, but it is bad.
Oh, a piusa.
The way, like, he pulls you out of the movie and like, okay, so something cool, exciting is happening on the screen. What does Lucas do? Let's cut to see what Jar Jar is fucking doing at this instant.
Or like a serious scene, like you just have Jar Jar in the background fucking being a stooge. He's like a Three Stooges
goddamn
character.
Slapstick comedy out of nowhere for no reason. Yeah. Other than the appealing to children. My God, I'm so glad... Like, episodes 1, 2, and 3 are notorious for Lucas not giving a fuck and doing what George Lucas wants. But thank God after episode 1, he at least listened to the fact that nobody liked Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah.
And he is so much...
He is minimalized after this first episode.
Very, very strongly. Thank fucking God.
I still feel like we were owed a Jar Jar death scene. Like, he should have been brutally murdered.
I'm glad he's just pretty much forgotten. I am fine with that, because that's what I want to do. He is so... And I know we're fucking saying the same things, but it is ridiculous how awful Jar Jar Binks is in episode 1. And we went into this trying to be positive.
Yes.
You told me, I want to justify Jar Jar.
That was my goal, was to be like, I want to take the be in defense of Jar Jar. That's what I want it to be.
And you cannot.
You can't.
You cannot.
You can't. Though, I'll tell you, and this is like a common theme throughout these movies, is like, I'm sitting there watching and like, I could do better. I could write a better script. I could do a better movie. What should have happened is after this insane backlash, you give Jar Jar Binks like a heroic death in the second movie. He steps in front of like a lightsaber taking it for like Anakin or Obi-Wan, and he sacrifices himself. That redeems all of Jar Jar. That gets rid of him. That is a smart move.
I think people would have cheered at the death of Jar Jar. And I think
And that's the thing, though. People who love Jar Jar would love how he went down, but the people who hated Jar Jar would have loved that he went down. It's a win-win situation. You get rid of him in a heroic way.
Based on what you just said, name me one person you've ever known that is a Jar Jar Binks fan.
I don't know any 5-year-olds at the moment.
I don't, even children I know. Like, I know we said that we will never watch these movies again because we suffered through them today.
I All right, we talked about this. If I have kids, I am never going to tell them that
I don't
one
know if I want
exists.
My niece and nephew to see these.
Like, I will never tell them this. They will find it out when they are old enough and they
and
want
they
to explore.
Have their access on the internet. Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know. It's
so. I wanna rewind it back to 98 when this movie came out. The internet was a new thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember, but like I was big into Star Wars when it came out. I was super excited, and I saw the movie and I was disappointed. So what did I do? I looked up Jar Jar Binks like hate sites on like GeoCities and Yahoo. Do you remember this shit? It'd be like GIFs of like people like beheading Jar Jar Binks.
I don't remember this.
And like
things, but...
and oh my god, it'd just be like pages filled with like long diatribes about why Jar Jar Binks was bad. And you see like these crude late 90s like Photoshop attempts of like having monster shit on his face and like his face melting like from Indiana Jones and the Holy like the
I don't remember.
Temple,
I've never seen
temple,
any
Raiders
of this.
The Lost Ark.
I've not seen any of this.
I don't know. See, and like I said, this is GeoCities, so these pages surely don't exist anymore.
I had a completely like when I saw episode one, you know, I'd stood in line for 14 hours and like I
that is crazy, by the way.
I didn't hate it immediately. And I think it's
I didn't either.
I'd hyped it up. So it wasn't until the internet wasn't a thing. So I didn't really I wasn't exposed to the immense hate of everything at first. It was, I figured it out on my own. I think it was after it came out on VHS and we watched it again. And I was like, this isn't that good. Like,
no.
There's a lot that is just fluff.
Yeah.
Like happening in this movie.
Yeah, well, I think it's very crucial that we talk about like our ages at this time because in 98 when this movie came out, like I was 12 years old.
I was 12 or 13.
And I told you earlier today when we were watching, like I had never seen Star Wars, any of them. My parents tried to get me to watch it, and I was like, I'm not having that shit. Put on fucking like Power Rangers. Like, are you kidding? Like that shit's boring. And then like the 97 theatrical releases came out, and they took me to theaters, and I would not shut the fuck up about Star Wars after that. Like, I was in love. So, like, 97, I saw the trilogy in theaters. Like, the original trilogy. I'm on board. So, 98 comes. I have no wait. I'm in it. Like, so, bad movie. I don't know this. As a 12-year-old, I am super in it. I am super in it.
I was the same way. I liked it a lot. And then it's not good. And we're saying the same thing. So... we hate it. So let's kind of move on.
Let's try to find positives.
Tell me the good things you like about episode one.
So, all right, episode one I've determined is my least favorite, but it does some good things. Like, people shit on the prequels because of all the CG. And I think that's really apparent in the later two episodes, but like the first one, like, I noticed so many sets and stages, and they built ship interiors, and there's practical effects. There are puppets, like the racist Japanese characters are actual like animatronic masks that are moving, and they're like, they're not synced up well at all.
No, it's bad.
But they fucking tried, and Yoda was a puppet. A bad one.
Which, thankfully, in the versions we watched today, they were the redone where Yoda in episode one is also CG now. Because, man,
George Lucas went back and, like, redid
it. He looks bad as a puppet in episode one.
But like, I kind of dig that. I dig that they were sticking to, like, animatronics and puppetry. Because they completely abandoned it. Yeah. I know.
Seven is back to practicals. And, so.
And CG's not bad.
Precisely.
But being so reliant on CG like George Lucas was in the second two, the number two and number three, that's bad.
Yeah.
Because it dates it. And those movies will never look as good as they did in like 2002 and 2005 respectively.
So what else? What were the other positives from it?
Oh man, you're really stretching me.
Yaddle?
The female Yoda? I kind of like seeing a female Yoda. I
pick up on that.
Yeah, she's in the Jedi Council somewhere. Or maybe she's not in the council, the scene, but she's in the celebration.
Oh.
She's
I never noticed.
But her name is Yaddle, and there's fan fiction about her, which I read when I was fucking 12 and 13. Wow. It's not good.
So see, this is where I am not a Star Wars nerd on that level.
I was. Yaddle fan and I could talk about Isla Sakura and Plo Koon. And all these fucking tangent characters.
Man.
Because, I was in this.
So you know, I said it many times while we were watching it, and I will just say it for the podcast here.
Yes.
I have three things I love about episode one.
I can only name two.
Okay. I think the first one, and I'll name them in chronological order. The first one, I like the pod racing scene for the most part. Watching it today, it was harder. The absolute worst part of the pod racing scene is the two-headed fucking announcer. Why was he there? Cut him the fuck out.
Yeah, that's the... All right, so I'm not going to derail you here. We're going to talk about your three, because I agree with your next two, but the pod racing scene is such bullshit. It's a good idea, but it is intercut by, like, so many cuts to shit we don't care about.
Yeah.
We cut back to this two-headed announcer, like, every 5 seconds. We're cut back to Qui-Gon Jinn and Jar Jar Binks reacting to the race. We're cut to all the stuff, so, like, you get a very disjointed set piece that's not a set piece anymore. And then, like, the set piece itself is kind of bullshit, because, like, things happen and there's no weight, there's no gravity, there's nothing.
And I will cut in right, that is the theme to these first three movies, is that there is no fucking weight to anything. And I'm talking in the physical and the emotional sense. Because of the heavy reliance on CGI, everything seems to almost float in this movie. There's no weight, no power to anything. And because of the woodenness of the performances, there is no emotional weight to anything. You do not get attached to anything in these fucking movies. You don't care about it. You just want it to be done.
Yeah. You're right. There is nothing to latch onto. And that's a big fucking issue.
It's a bad thing, man.
It's a big fucking issue.
These movies get by on the fucking name Star Wars.
I think I pointed out to you while we were watching the first one, I know we were talking about the good things, but in the first 10 minutes of A New Hope, Episode 4, you're given, you know, all of these dramatic scenes that propel the plot, get you involved, like a planet is destroyed. A princess is being held captured that they need to rescue. Luke's uncle and aunt are killed brutally in the first, like, 10-15 minutes of that movie.
And you also get introduced to Darth Vader and how big of a menacing badass that person is.
The first 10-15 minutes of Phantom Menace, what happens?
It's boring trade shit, some Jedi fighting, some robots that's... None of that looks as cool as anything that happens, because there's this severe disconnect of this entire reliance on green screen. So, coming back to my other favorites.
Yeah, three things you liked. One was the pod race, which I don't agree, but...
The other two are Darth Maul is my absolute favorite villain. I love him more than Darth Vader. You can argue me if you want.
Ooh.
I love Darth Maul. I wish that we had more Darth Maul.
Yeah, and I'd argue that's why Darth Vader's a better character, because you have more time with
him. I also wonder if maybe Maul is cooler because you get so little of him that he leaves you wanting more.
I think the only reason you have an argument is because Darth Vader is ruined by the prequels.
Possibly too. Maybe.
I think if you just
Vader
take,
is
like,
incredibly
the,
badass in
the
4 and
through
6.
Yeah.
Tying into the Darth Maul thing, the other greatest thing about Episode 1, and it is the only thing that surpasses all the other Star Wars.
Bumpa, bumpa, bumpa.
Duel of the Motherfucking Fates is the best song ever. You can take your fucking Darth Vader theme, shove it up your ass. Take your Star Wars theme, eat a dick. Give me Duel of the Fucking Fates. That song is so... Watching it today, I told you, and when we watched it there, and when it comes back in Episode 3, I got fucking goosebumps.
Yes.
For real.
Yeah.
That song hits me on such a primal level. Like, it grabs something in me. God, that is such a good song.
John Williams is easily the rock
that holds
for the trilogy. Yeah. Because I think you take away John Williams, you take away the score, and these are even worse.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
thank God
I don't think there's anything
seven.
There. Yeah.
Thank you, John Williams.
But Duel of the Fates is great.
It is the best song
in
the Star
Wars
universe,
theme
in my opinion. I listened to it, it doesn't grab me like Duel of
the
Fates
the
does.
No, Duel of the Fates is the best, but like all his themes are so good. Like there's not a theme he makes that is not good, and he really does, he bolsters the Star Wars franchise. Like you take John Williams away, you don't have Star Wars at that point. So I think he has to be back for 7.
So in your opinion, Episode 1 is the worst.
It's the worst. I really cannot think of any positive things to say. I mean, like, if you want me to go into, like, a bullet point detail of everything I hate,
I don't,
could. But you go into bullet points of things I like, it's there's
the
some
bad
sets.
Outweighs the good.
That's it. There's some sets that are practical. That's good.
And Duel of the Fates.
I hate Jar Jar. I hate Little Annie. I hate Padme. I hate that whole reveal. Okay. I hate Qui-Gon. I hate Obi-Wan. I hate everything.
We're going to move on, but I will say I love Little Anakin so much more than Adult Anakin.
Well, that's like saying, like, do you want to eat a little shit or do you want to eat a lot of shit? Like, they're both horrible.
But it's weird that, like, a fucking 8-year-old child actor is so much better than a dude that's been in, like, 5 or 6 other Hollywood movies before this.
He was not new, and he should have been so much better.
So, let's move the fuck on. Let's get to
episode two,
Attack of the Clones. This is where we're setting up
subtitled
the Clone Wars.
Fuck you, Ryan, for watching.
This is, in my opinion, the worst of the three.
This used to be my worst, but I think there are highlights here, and there is nothing remotely good in Phantom Menace.
Phantom Menace, I think, gets a nostalgia pass from me because of Darth Maul and Duel of the Fates.
Duel of the Fates is great.
That elevates it just above Episode 2 for me, because to me, Episode 2 has no redeeming qualities outside of this. And it wasn't even good this time.
You.
The fucking arena fight is
not good.
It's not good, and that's the only good part in this movie.
It's
for me.
You know, it's not good, and I would say none of the action in episode 2 is good, but it is more entertaining than episode 1, aside from that Darth Maul fight at the very end.
Yeah.
Because, like, the only other action you're treated to in the first one is a fish chase underwater. You're treated to dumb fucking droid fights that are meaningless. You're treated to Jar Jar Binks, like, getting stuck to a droid and shooting other people in that Gungan droid fight, which is horseshit.
Slapstick is dumb.
Like, there's nothing good. And then, like, I guess the pod race, which you said you like, but, like, I cannot stand. I think it is just a complete waste of time. And I saw it in theaters twice, and the second time, I completely fell asleep during the pod chase because it is so uninvolving. And I was a fucking 14-year-old who fucking... That is, like, up my alley, right? Like, that's for dumb 14-year-olds. And, like, no, I think the pod chase is the worst.
So, episode 2, it has things, but again, I think it's even more weightless than episode 1.
It is. It is.
In true sequel fashion, it is a sequel to a shit movie that adds nothing to the fucking plot or character. Like,
I agree. Like, I'm not gonna stand here and defend episode 2. As you said, we talk through, like, almost all the dialogue between Anakin and Padme because it's bad. And it serves no plot purpose. There's no chemistry between the two. They're both just wooden. And, like, Natalie Portman's a fantastic actress. Hayden Christensen is not. I think he's not proven himself.
He brings
in
her down to his level. Like,
yes.
Hayden Christensen acts as a goddamn totem pole. Like, he's fucking tree wood personified in a fucking performance.
He is Treebeard.
Like, no, Treebeard is a better actor than Hayden Christensen.
What's Treebeard from? I'm a little drunk and I can't remember
Lord
now.
Of the Rings.
Which one is he?
He's one of the giant ants. Yeah, of course he's the giant tree.
I thought he was the dwarf.
He's one of the ants that Merryworth and Pippin ride on.
We have to keep this in because they will drive Laura crazy.
That's funny.
So, yeah, he's really wooden. He's really bad. But, like that... but still, even though it's so bad, I still think it's better paced. And and I've told you, like, I feel like number 2 and number 3 really kind of fuck it up. And that they tell the story you don't care about while alluding to stories in between the episodes. That sound more interesting.
That is the biggest bullshit of these prequels, is the fact that the most interesting things that happen in this series don't happen in these fucking movies. They happen in media completely separate, be it the Clone Wars TV show on Cartoon Network or comic books or something. Why is that a thing? Don't fucking do that to where I can't follow it.
Yep, I agree.
These movies should be able to be watched and understand what happens. When General Grievous shows up in episode 3 and he's fucked up, if I hadn't watched Clone Wars, I would not know that Mace Windu had fucked his lungs up and know that that's why he fights at a reduced factor. That is fucking terrible storytelling.
Well, it's just bad direction. Yes. Bad direction, bad storytelling, and Marvel fanboy that I am, you can watch an Avengers movie and enjoy it.
Exactly.
And you don't have to see the 3 Captain Americas. You don't have to see the Thor movies. You will still have a good time. You'll know everything that happens. These movies are not that. Like,
no, absolutely not.
Well, and I'd be honest, I don't think you'll have a good time no matter what, unless you're like a kid. In which case, like, I forgive it because, like, you're young, you don't know good sci-fi, you don't know good Star Wars yet, which that sounds very condescending, and it is because these are bad.
These are really bad. Like,
they're bad.
I cannot stress, we are not joking when we say we went into these with positive intent. No. We wanted to be positive and bring you something to talk about. There's not a lot good in these movies.
Yeah. Episode 2, good things. Good things.
You can't even think of them.
I'm trying really hard without saying, like, the way Natalie Portman dresses, because that's a good thing for me. I
do agree with you there.
I love that white outfit at the end. That gets my motor going.
And that's cool because it
head out to the highway.
I hadn't put it together, but that is a very obvious nod to Leia.
It is, yeah, absolutely.
And that's really fucking cool.
It's an obvious nod to Leia, but it's not as obvious as they get in the third one with, like, the buns. And you were like, holy shit, that's Leia!
That was Leia hair.
Yeah,
but
yeah, it was. No, it was. Like, I think that's more blunt than, like, this one in number two.
This movie has Natalie Portman. It has Ewan McGregor. All three of these movies have both those actors.
It has Christopher Lee.
Those are three fantastic
actors.
Samuel L. Jackson. Let's get to four. They are all awful in this series. They are boring to watch on a screen. How are these actors fucking boring? What are you doing?
Well, and that's where it comes down to, is I don't think it's the actor's fault at all. I think
it's not the actor's
fault. It's
George
Lucas. I think there's no direction, and your note is, like, dead on the spot.
Referencing is, I have four notes for this entire fucking three-movie series.
I think I have,
series.
Like, five or six, like, not very many.
The one he's referencing is, I wrote down, George Lucas, master of the one take, because it feels like every fucking take in this movie was the first one, and he's like, hey, that's good. Let's move on.
That's good enough. Let's focus on the CG. Let's focus on this technology stuff.
Because everybody comes so stilted and wooden and with no emotion. And, like, I get that a Jedi is supposed to not act on emotion, but they're going to have fucking emotion. It's going to be something that is happening that they can repress, not be a fucking tree.
Well, all right, so you say Jedi. Don't think of the prequels. Who's the Jedi you think of first? Jedi.
It's fucking Obi-Wan.
You think him instead of Luke Skywalker? Because say...
Okay. When you say prequels, that's...
Don't say prequels. Like, okay. Take prequels out of it. Who's a Jedi?
It's probably
Luke or Obi-Wan.
Yeah, Obi...
And I don't think Obi-Wan shows as much, but my point here is, like, Luke had how many emotions?
Tons.
In the original trilogy, he had a lot. He had such a range and spectrum of fear. Yeah, all
anger.
This stuff.
Yeah.
And he, really, like, in all honesty, you could say, like, he did the exact same arc as Hayden Christensen as Anakin,
so
but
much better.
Made a very different choice at the end of the path.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between Darth Vader and Luke.
That we know of so far.
Yes, which I'm so excited about that. But, like, he experienced all these emotions. You say Jedis aren't supposed to have emotions. He had emotions, and they were done well. So I don't think that's a valid criticism.
Well, but also, Luke came into the Jedi as an adult. He was, like, 18 when he comes into it.
Looked down upon, but Anakin Skywalker was also looked down upon
joining. Anakin didn't even come in. He was 6. Like, usually a Jedi, when they come in, it's like from birth. There's a hint that there's something here. The Jedi take them, they raise them, and refine the Force from that age.
Yeah.
So I see why Luke's emotions get the best of him. I'm interested to see where that's going to go with 7.
But that's just my point. Like, there are emotions, and you can show emotions well. Because, like, I think that's the whole arc with Anakin becoming Darth Vader is emotions.
But
love
still
gets involved.
Can't show him.
He can't.
Because it's Hayden Christensen, and he's the worst
actor.
He
is a rape fest on my mental my mental institutions are all fucked because of this rape fest that,
like,
is Hayden Christensen.
How did this guy get cast as the lead in one of the biggest franchises in history?
It really makes no sense to me why he was
It is so bad.
Not, I mean, like, I would say, like, oh, he kind of looks like Jake Lloyd, so I get why they picked him,
Who
even if
cares
he didn't have
about that?
But he doesn't even look like Jake Lloyd.
No, he can't, dude. And I'm not trying to shit on him, but...
No, I think it is fair to shit on him, because I think the worst parts of 2 and 3
are hating
Christensen.
Absolutely. Hands down, so there are parts where Obi-Wan actually, where Ewan McGregor starts to get into a good fucking thing, and then immediately it's shit on by Hayden Christensen.
Alright, and you pointed this out several times, and I love this. It's like Hayden Christensen would say a line as completely flat, doesn't work, and then you were just immediately like, say it like this.
I could deliver it better.
And it's better.
Yeah.
But like Ewan McGregor sitting there like, you are my brother. I trusted you.
I hate you.
Yeah. And it's just this flat like, I hate you.
So bad.
Hate you.
And that's delving into episode 3, which
it
fucking...
is a Tim and Eric skit.
Let's
how
move on.
He acts.
Let's get into episode 3, because episode 2, all I will say, let's wrap it. Episode 2, my only redeeming quality is the arena fight.
I think all right, in fairness, I will say I like the arena fight. I'm trying really hard here.
Episode 2 also
introduces... I like Count Dooku. I like Christopher Lee.
Count Dooku is great.
Brings gravitas. I love the Jango Fett and Ewan McGregor fight. I think
what you don't
see in Phantom Menace is like people using their abilities to the best they can.
Yep.
It's action for the sake of plot. Like, we need this to happen. We need this dramatic moment. So maybe Qui-Gon will drop his lightsaber, or like he'll fall down and blah, blah, blah.
I'm glad you brought that up again. Yes. Because one thing that I constantly said throughout this entire series, everybody drops a goddamn lightsaber. And I kept focusing. Dude, it's 2015 here on Earth, and people that play on a Nintendo Wii, those motherfuckers have a fucking wrist strap. Why does a lightsaber not have a wrist strap if you drop it so fucking much?
Really, if we were to count it, like, over a dozen times,
absolutely,
a lightsaber
easily
is dropped in
and
these
then
movies.
It's dramatic. It's like... It's,
and it's for the sake of fucking plot.
It's exactly like when I played The Walking Dead. Need some
Lee
suspense?
Lee falling down.
Oh, let's have Lee fall down. It's
yep,
in
right.
Star Wars. Need some suspense? Oh, we dropped the lightsaber.
So let's just say it right now. Episode 7... best not be fucking dropping lightsabers.
They can drop one.
I don't think they will. Judging from what I've seen, I don't think it's gonna be like they're in like this big place. Like you see the two characters fighting the lightsabers like on an ice planet, like on the ground. Like you're not like he drops it from a high
altitude.
Thank you. My words are
we're on this level,
escaping
bub.
Me. Yeah.
We're on this
so,
level.
Like, it drops down, like, several floors below, and now I'm out of a lightsaber. Like, you're not going to get that shit. You're not going to get convoluted, and that's the thing. It's like, episode 1, at the end, Duel of the Fates is playing. Obi-Wan drops his lightsaber down the shaft with all the planks, right? Episode 2, they're in, like, the conveyor belt, the assembly line. Anakin drops his Skywalker down the assembly line.
He drops his
lightsaber off the ship in Coruscant all the way down. Obi-Wan in episode 3 drops his lightsaber down. Like it's a fucking plot point in these movies. It's dropping your lightsaber.
It's a bad. I don't remember Luke. I remember him dropping it maybe once, and that's maybe
I think
twice.
It's an Empire.
He drops it
when he gets his hand cut off, and that's it.
He drops it. Then he loses it when the Wampa attacks him, and that's the first real time we see him use the Force to grab it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something
and
different.
And he doesn't
though.
Have it when he goes to Jabba, but R2 shoots it to him. But again, I don't
think that's the same. I don't.
Yeah,
think you
I don't.
Can put
I don't.
Those.
I don't either. I don't
I
either.
Think
I'm
the
not
only
saying
time
that.
You could say he drops it is in episode 5
when he gets his hand cut off.
But then, like, instead of like I'm out of luck, like he just jumps down and
he's like, well,
his
fuck
fate.
It, I'm done.
Yeah. And I think that means more.
So
it's so cheap.
Let's wrap up episode 2. You had some good things. I have.
So I like the Jango fight with Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
I think the effects are better.
They are better.
One.
The CGI, for as much reliance on CGI, it is
better.
I
really like when the Slave One is chasing Ewan McGregor in
through
the asteroid
field. That's
I think
pretty good.
The sound is brilliant.
The depth charges are really cool.
Oh, it's so neat, right? Yeah. Right? That's, right? And yeah. And honestly, I think even though it kind of jerks itself off with like the love scenes and really meanders, the plot actually makes sense. Phantom Menace, like, things happen for the sake of things happening.
Yeah.
And, like, really, like, if I were to say just to, like, random person on the street, like, explain to me the first 20 minutes of Phantom Menace and how Qui-Gon Jinn and Ewan McGregor, Obi-Wan, like, go from that ship to Gungan to the city to Naboo. Explain that to me. It's very hard. Whereas, like, Obi-Wan and Anakin split up. Obi-Wan chases Jango. He chases his lead. It's very James Bond. While Anakin and Padme are having love interests, Obi-Wan gets in trouble, sends off a distress beacon. Anakin and Padme go to help Obi-Wan. Colosseum, fight, and done. Like, it makes sense. There is a clear chain of events that leads them to where they are. Phantom Menace, there's no clear chain. It is just shit happening for the sake
of it
happening.
Episode 2 is the longest one as well, right?
It is. It's like two and a half hours. It's 2 hours and 28 minutes.
Like, that's like at least a half hour too long.
That's
that,
an offense.
They should
have
fucking cut that down. Cause
it, and I'll agree. Like, you gave it that love shit.
You gave it a lot more credit than what, like, it takes so long to get to that point. Like,
yeah.
The only good part, besides the arena for me in episode 2, we had a lot of fun with it, was the giant butt tick monster.
Butt ticks!
Things. What the fuck were those things? They have an asshole totally up at the top of their body. There'd be shit. I don't know.
They're just horribly designed.
Don't watch these episodes, people. This is why we did it, so you don't have to. Please let this be a thing.
All right.
So episode 3.
We don't do this, but I'm going to just put it out there. Fuck it, because why not? On a scale from 1 to 10, what would you say episode 1 is? 1 to 10, 10 being great, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. Episode 1 is maybe a 2 or a 3.
I think that's about right. I'd say probably a 2.
Yeah, and episode 2, because I know that's where you're going, is maybe a 1 or a 2 for me.
Interesting. I would say it's a 3. It's just slightly better.
And this is just our differences, but man,
I used to be with you until today.
And I'm still with me. I think 2...
I'm still with me.
I think 2 is the weakest.
I would hope so.
I think 2 is the weakest.
I don't think so anymore.
Do not watch these.
It's still not good.
Do not watch
three
these
out of
and back
10,
us up.
It's still bad.
Terrible.
It's still bad.
It's terrible.
But it's less bad than Phantom Menace, in my opinion.
So let's get on to the shining diamond in this turd.
Revenge of the Shit, i.e. Rape Fest Star Wars 2005.
It's not 2005. Your time period is so off whack. Andre, I'm suing you, Andre Champagne.
I think it's 2005.
You have ruined my code. Dude, fucking number one came out in 98, 99.
And number two is 2002.
Did you look this up? Or you?
Number three is 2005. No, I'm going off of my fucking life experience. Spider-Man came out in 2002, and I had a big fight with my friend because he said episode 2 is a better movie than Star Wars, and I fucking did not talk to that friend for a year because
of
this.
I'm going to drop this word, and I don't use it. Your friend is retarded.
I would say cunt, but yes.
Retarded to think that episode 2 is better than any of the Spider-Mans.
If you're listening,
episode
this is
2,
at you. You're a fucking dumb shit.
Episode, like, the Italian Spider-Man movie is a better movie than fucking episode 2.
Green Lantern is a better movie than Attack of the Clones.
I would agree with you there.
Wolverine Origins is a better movie than Attack of the Clones.
I would agree
with
you.
And I hate them both.
Green Lantern is a god-awful garbage movie, and yeah, it's better than...
Yeah, you want disagreements and vitriol from me? Let's talk about those movies in the future. But right now, Revenge of the Sith, 2005.
Okay, I'm gonna give you a bit of. I'm not gonna look
because
at it,
that's my
care.
Second year of college. That's I walked to pick it up when it came out.
Okay, 2005, Revenge of the Sith, Episode 3.
Yep.
This is where Anakin makes the final turn into Darth Vader.
Let me just take a step back real quick and say, like, I was thinking about this on the way over here after watching these movies. A much better character arc. A much sympathize with your character that's going to turn bad. Right? Right? Like, have a character you love that turned bad. Hayden Christensen in, like, the very beginning of episode 2 is a shit. He is a contrary shit to Obi-Wan. He's rebelling. He's being a little fucking turd.
Yeah.
You know what you do? You know how you make Darth Vader? Put in a Chris Pratt character. Somebody you love who gets seduced by the dark side.
Well,
and that is fucking interesting.
I think that we were supposed to love Hayden Christensen, but because of the bad direction... And That's the thing. I don't know if Hayden Christensen is such a bad actor, but just Lucas.
I don't think he is, because I've Lucas seen he's good in Shattered Glass.
Anything out of him, because not only is Hayden Christensen bad, dude, Ewan McGregor is bad.
Now,
Natalie
Portman
is
bad
in these movies. Like,
there's
Hayden Christensen gets
good.
A lot of shit, and he is bad in these movies, but he's also supposed to be our lead. We are supposed to care about this character, and I do not.
No.
Fuck this character. I can't. He's. I don't care at all what happens to him.
I hate sand. It's so coarse.
My vagina, it's in there. It makes the fucking
it's up in there.
Oyster.
It's tolerate fest on my being.
So episode 3, this is where we get to where we want to fucking be. This is where we get to Vader.
Revenge of the Sith. It's the beginning of Vader. You get Death Star stuff in it. Like,
this was cool.
I think it's the most fan servicey of the prequel trilogy, which I think was why
Lucas
a lot of
is finally starting to get the hint.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is what people want.
Yeah.
And, you know, make the movie that you want to make, but god damn it, dude, you got... There are people more invested in this than you are. You're the one changing everything, Lucas.
Yep.
Lucas, George Lucas, you're the one fucking things. It's the
Lucas,
people...
Lucas, George fucking Lucas.
There are fans that know much more about this universe than you do because you change it. They
yeah.
understand what's happening, and you fuck them.
Yep.
And that's bad. Like, ugh.
All right, so I'm not one of those people who say, like, oh, George Lucas raped my childhood with
no.
the prequels. It didn't, because, like, whatever, I told you. Like, I saw the original Star Wars, like, a year before Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
It didn't rape my childhood.
I was one of those. I grew up on Star Wars.
It didn't destroy me. It is just a total lack of awareness on his part. It is a total lack of judgment, skill, like, auteurship, like... He is just a turgid director.
Dude, he has no finesse, no care, no... Like, he can make... And I even stress that he can make things look cool, but not even then. Like, his action
yeah.
scenes are very Michael Bay Transformers, where, like,
yep.
I have no idea what I'm supposed to focus on, what's going on, who I'm supposed to show interest in the scene.
I would argue Michael Bay is a better director.
In action scenes especially, yeah. I would
yeah.
give you that. And even then...
Because, like, you say, like, oh, like, those are cool designs. George Lucas didn't make those. He just approved of them.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Grievous looks cool. Like, that's a cool design.
Of a bunch of... Like, all right, let's rewind this back. Why do so many reptilian-esque alien species in this fucking universe have facial hair?
This does not bother me as much as it bothered you.
Why do they have stubble? Why do they have mustaches? They have no fucking way to grow it. They're
just
reptilian.
Just by reptiles, yeah.
Yeah, what the fuck? It's not jarring, but it's dumb.
Yeah. And in all honesty, like I said, this doesn't bother me. But the reason you note this is because the movie is so uncompelling that you're looking for the shit.
Yeah,
you're looking at anything else.
Fucking
details, because the story is not grabbing you. The dialogue is horse shit. There's no character development. It's just a shit pile. Just a giant rape fest.
Let's finish this so that we can hopefully hold true and both of us never watch these movies again.
Oh no, I told you, and I think you said the same thing to me today.
I'm never watching these again.
No, I am putting my foot down. I am never watching these again. If my kid 10 years down the line is like, there are 3 other Star Wars movies? I'm like, yeah, you can watch them. I will never watch them with you, kid.
You got a DVD player in your room, right,
yeah,
kid?
You
go
have
the fuck
TV.
In there.
I'm not going to watch you.
I'm playing Mass Effect 14.
Oh, my God. I would be so down for that.
I would not, but we'll get into that.
Give me 14 Mass Effects. great. Great. But, no, like, I will never watch these movies again. Like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done. There's no reason to go back to them.
I will listen to Duel of the Fates in an unjoined set. I will just listen to it in my car. Because
I'll go one further and I say, like, any soundtrack from 1 to 3 is great. Like,
for
I love
real,
the
like,
theme in number 2, and I can't... I used to know them because I was, like, so big into these big themes, but
I
think they're all good.
I really liked the feeling of the excitement and, again, the goosebumps I got when Duel of the Fates came on. That was... Yeah. I was like, yeah!
All right, so good things we're going to talk about. Like, so in the third one, a lot of fan service. You get, like, the Rebel Blockade, the runner ship that is the opening from New Hope.
Where it's running from the Star Destroyer.
Is recreated with cool. Senator Organa in there. And, like, there's cool things. And, like, the end of the movie is little baby Luke and little baby Leia sent to their respective planets. And, like, when Leia goes to Alderaan, you get Leia's theme. And when Luke goes to Tatooine, you get that subtle New Hope theme.
Yeah.
I got goosebumps. I got excited.
You got it there. I got it again. I only got it in episode 3 again when they revisit Duel
of
the
Fates. It's that Yoda fight with Palpatine, right?
It was the Yoda Palpatine slash Anakin Obi-Wan fight. Like, they're kind of meshed between. And they revisit Duel of the Fates, and it's, dude, I'm not lying, audience. I got chills and goosebumps.
He showed us.
And I was like, wow, look at this. This is still affecting me. Like, on that level. And, it's a common theme in our podcast, but the music really hooks me a lot.
Yes. I mean, yeah, if you really, like, take Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang out of the equation for my top 5 movies, and I will tell you they're on that list because of the music. The music really gets it, hooks into me. Same with my games, like Mega Man, oh, it's in me. Mass Effect, oh, that music's in me. Like, it's the music that gets me. And Star Wars has the best music. Even these prequels, which are so underwhelming. Like, that
John
music
Williams
is the phenomenal.
The best part, and we disagree here too, one of the other things I really liked in episode 3, as over the top and overacted as it was, I liked Palpatine. I thought it was fun. And
I do, to the point where he becomes a cartoony villain.
That's,
and
I liked when
I
he becomes a cartoony
like that.
Villain. That's our differences. Yeah. Again, I think it's great when he starts. I don't know how much of it is an after effect and how much is the actor, but when the voice changes.
I hate the voice change.
I like
I
the voice
do not
change.
Like it.
I think it's really cool, and it's bringing this other aspect.
No! No! Power!
When you see it, like. Parts of it, yes, I do agree, are silly, but there are other parts where it works well.
I don't think it ever works well. And you're talking about, like, the rise.
Lord Vader.
I just think he fucking shits the bed with his voice.
And that's cool.
I do not like it.
This is what I like. This is where we disagree on things, and that's fine. But we are in complete agreement. Let's wrap it up.
Well,
we are
real
in
quick,
total, yeah.
I have to get in. I have to get in because it really pisses me off.
Okay.
Like, every rewatch, it gets even worse. And I think you disagree with me at first. I don't know how you feel now.
Let's bring it in.
But Padme is butchered in the third one. She becomes such a fucking helpless woman character. And it just, her characterization is just so mind-bogglingly sexist.
I have a weird...
I hate the treatment.
I'm very weird on this because of the things that have happened within the past year, unrelated to Star Wars. I am very weird on the way that I see and interpret, especially the female, in media. But...
Yes.
I do agree that Padme is handled very, very poorly in episode 3.
Yeah. I never think she's a great character, but I think arguments can be made she is a good female character.
Yes.
At least, like, on equal playing fields as, like, the other ones. Because they're all bad characters in the first two. But in the third one, they just reduce her to, like, a weeping, crying, worrying female character who really, like, I don't think she has, like, one line of dialogue that isn't about Anakin and worrying about Anakin because, and like, you were like, oh, well, that's not bad. No, she's not that bad. And I was like, no, wait, I think she literally dies because her heart's broken because Anakin's bad.
Well, and she even says the line, Annie, you're breaking my heart. And I know that became a meme after this movie.
And then the droid comes out, and it's like, we don't know exactly why she died. It is not medical. I think she gave up the will to live.
It's so dumb. But, again, dude, that is so much more on George Lucas. What did
and
you
no, it is,
fucking
it is.
Do,
obviously,
dude?
It's not Natalie Portman's fault at all. She did what she was asked to do in the script. I'm saying George Lucas, like he's, I don't think he's ever been particularly good at women characters. Because you say, like, look back to the Indiana Jones, American Graffiti. There aren't strong female characters. Maybe Karen Allen, the first Indiana Jones, is... But, like, then you go immediately to Temple of Doom, and that is the most grating fucking female character I have ever experienced.
Yeah.
But I don't think he gets female characters, but, like, he did it good enough it wasn't an issue in the first two movies, but the third one, like, it was apparent, like, George Lucas is a sexist motherfucker who does not understand women.
See, now that's where I disagree. I don't see it as sexist.
I see it
as he doesn't understand. Like, he... And not only women...
I would say that's sexist. It's not, like, aggressively, like, mean-spirited, but, like, it's ignorant, right? And that's sexism and racism is when you're ignorant.
But he's also ignorant of the male characters. Like, Hayden Christensen is bad. Ewan McGregor has no development as Obi-Wan. It's not just Padme.
But do they do typical male things? Are they reduced to male characters?
Yeah.
And I would give you Anakin, because he becomes fucking stupid.
He becomes so emo and anger and aggression.
That is just like bro hate.
And he can't even capture it.
No.
And anger is the most basis of all human emotions, and he cannot fucking get there.
I don't think Ewan McGregor ever is, because like he has those good lines at the end where he's like, "You were my brother, you were the chosen one.
Where the fuck
I trusted you."
I said it like, when we were watching it, where was that Obi-Wan 2.5 movies ago? Where the fuck have you been?
Well, I think he was abandoned acting against green screen.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is like he finally figured out how to do it. I have a big issue. You're not as much of an issue. You think it's just shit all around. Like you said, I've become very sensitive in the last year or so after Gamergate and all this stuff. Like I am sensitive to the depiction of women in media, and I think this is a bad example in number 3.
We will...
And I will say, like, you can't defend Lucas because of all the racist shit, too.
Oh, man, this
so,
is
like,
bad.
Obviously,
I will,
this dude
I
does
will,
not know.
I will absolutely agree with you that there is abundant behind-the-scenes racism in this movie, and I cannot believe it, but, like...
It's bad.
There's racism against Asian Americans, there's racism against blacks, there's mm-hmm. racism against Jewish people, represented hard all of them. So.
I was surprised Watto didn't have, like, the Star of David somewhere tattooed on his, like, fucking shirt. He was so fucking Jewish.
So, let's please...
It's offensive!
Let's stop.
Do better!
We will never, ever discuss episodes 1, 2, and 3. We will never watch them.
Happily.
Audience,
you think I want to fucking talk about Star Wars?
Like, we do, but not these. I am not lying. I'm not being dramatic. Do not watch these movies. They do not hold up in any sense.
No.
Do us the favor. We did it for you, and we honestly looked for good.
I tried.
I cannot stress that. We looked for good. It is not there.
Yeah.
Stop. If you want to get nostalgic before episode 7, watch 4, 5, and 6. You will be fine. Yeah. Those are the characters that are going to expand upon anyways. And we will get there if you don't want to watch it. But
yeah. It does get better.
It will.
Like, well, the 1, 2, 3, like, I think it gets progressively better.
3 is the best. Like, that's why I called it the Diamond of the Turd Shadow.
Yeah, like, it's the least offensive, and I feel like that's the only one where he really tried.
If all 3 Star Wars prequels were a fart, number 3 would be your own fart that doesn't bother you as much.
Yeah. I would say it's like your dog's fart, but you love that dog, so you put up with it. Right? Because it's like, it's offensive to my nose.
I would say number 2.
I love you, dog.
Number 2 is my dog's fart. That, like,
no!
I'm going to what? But number 3 is my own fart that the smell is bad, but I'm kind of like, that's my fart. It's not so
number
bad.
Number 2 is you open your fridge and you go to get a yogurt and there's a shit in your fridge and you have to clean it.
Why is there a shit in
there a shit in that fridge? That's number 2.
And audience.
And number 1 is just like, the world is shit. Just
if you
there's
listen
shit
to this,
everywhere.
Thank you. We're going to stop here because we have nothing else to say. Please.
I mean, we could just talk about shit for the rest of the episode, but we're not going to. So thank you. Thank you so much for listening to us. We are The Experience Grind. This is Ryan, your co-host, with
Kyle, your other co-host. This is the special Super Star Wars episode of 1, 2, and 3.
Yes. Come visit us on experiencegrind.com. Look us up at Facebook at Experience Grind. you can send us an email. Tell us, like, what you like, what you don't like. Hey, are you a fan of Star Wars Episode 1, 2, or 3? If so, don't talk to us. But, you know, send us an email about the other ones. That's cool. Please, at experiencegrindpodcast@gmail.com.
Do reach out to us if you do not follow this advice and you do watch these movies, because we want to hear what you think. Maybe.
Well, Kyle does. I don't want to hear it from anybody who likes the first three movies.
I don't think you might like... I don't know anybody that likes these movies.
Actually, yeah. Please, if you do like these movies, email us, because you are a fucking rarity.
Yeah, tell
I
us what you do
hear
like.
About this.
I'm not telling you we will rewatch them, because we will not, but we'll maybe reevaluate what we experienced through it.
I will go and put it out there. You send us an email justifying why you like this, and we will read it on the air. We will read it out. We will credit you, and we will discuss it, because who the fuck likes Episode 1, 2, and 3?
So, I want to end this on the high note. Today is... what is today?
Is that a high note?
It's November...
I don't know.
November 7th. We have...
Shit.
A little over a month before Episode 7 comes out. You will not be listening to this on November 7th. It will probably not even be close to it. By the time this episode comes out...
It will probably be closer to Star Wars Episode 7.
It will be closer to Episode 7. But I will say, we are very excited about Episode 7.
I'm so excited.
I can say that for the both of us. I know that.
I think maybe we should talk about Episode 7 in the trailer just a little bit. Five minutes.
You want to do that to wrap it up?
Yeah, let's wrap it up with some positive, because we got to get it positive.
We can put our thoughts down. Okay, we'll make it real quick. Let's wrap this up. Go ahead.
So, Episode 7 trailer, The Force Awakens, I love absolutely everything I'm seeing.
Yeah.
There's not a thing I don't like. There isn't a shot I don't like. I love the practical effects. Every time I see a stormtrooper flying in the air and is a person in a suit,
Compared to a computer.
I come in my pants a little bit.
Ooh.
I am so excited.
It's very salty.
It is. My cum is salty. I eat a lot of meat. It's weird.
So, I agree with you. We watched the trailers in between the movies to try to re-excite us about this. Because... oh my god, they were bad! But we're positive. So Episode 7, the thing that I pick up on the trailer, and I brought this up to you during it, compared to the first three, there is weight, there is scale,
there is
power in these. Like, there is consequence, I feel, that's gonna happen. Nobody is... I love it. It's gonna be fucking great.
There is a shot of a lightsaber in the new international trailer that just came out, of a lightsaber being brought up to Rey's face, and the look of fear on her face. It's so real, and there is not a moment of that in 1 through 3.
Nobody is terrified of lightsabers.
It is just such a grounded, realistic shot.
For a piece of equipment that can totally fucking wreck your entire existence within the blink of an eye and a snap of a finger.
That could totally cut Goku and Superman in half.
Goku, yes, Superman. Maybe we'll get into it more in depth when we start getting into Superman movies and comic books. Yes, lightsabers are fucking not to be screwed around with. And
it's such a good moment.
I feel, and that's something that we didn't discuss, but in Episodes 1, 2, and 3, they feel like toys. They are thrown around like nobody cares about them. They're just there. And I feel finally in Episode 7, again, we get the weight of a lightsaber. And I don't mean the weight of the device itself, but the consequence that this device brings, like, it can fucking destroy somebody's entire existence in the blink of an eye.
I'm going to go ahead and put it out there on the line. In Episode 7, there's not going to be one single lightsaber drop.
I hope so.
Unless somebody, like, gets their hand cut off and then, like, that's it.
We are going
But there's not going to be a lightsaber drop for the sake of plot
I will
point.
Tell you now, we are going to Episode 7 together. If one does drop, I'm going to elbow you in the ribs. So we're like, they should have had a Wii U remote wrist strap, maybe. I don't know.
Rape fest, am I right?
All right, so that is the end. Episodes 1, 2, and 3, do not watch them. Do not watch them. Do not fucking watch these movies.
Don't.
We cannot stress it. We watch them for you. Please do not watch them. We are the Experience Grind Podcast. I am the Hobo Jedi, Kyle.
And I am I don't know, the dashing rogue Ryan. That's a fucking pompous.
Wow, Jesus, I know, Han Solo. Why don't you fucking just fly a Millennium Falcon out of here? Jesus Christ.
I am the wise old...
You're not even old. You don't know what you are. I am absolutely...
I'm the turgid Anakin to this podcast.
You are the...
I am filled with emotion and hate. I am Anakin.
You're the fart that comes out of that creature's butt, Ryan. Ryan.
Misa voodoo. Thank you. Piusa.
If you listen to this, I applaud you for getting through this episode. This is the Star Wars 1, 2, and 3 special. Please listen to 4, 5, and 6, which will be out very shortly.
And thank you.
We are
real quick to our sound editor, Andy Hartman.
Thank you very much,
Andy. For always putting up with our
bullshit. You make us sound way better than we actually are.
You do make us sound so good.
Fare thee well. Good night, folks.
Hi, everybody. So welcome back. Thank you so much. If you have stuck around to this point, I'm sure that what you just listened to was maybe...
Trying.
I guess you could say that you maybe grinded that experience out, if you will.
We have now. It's meta now. We are grinding the audience like these movies grind us.
Like an axe. Oh, man. So we're going to... This is the part we said we're coming back now. We're going to break down these movies for you real quick. It's going to be like a little 15-minute maybe at most things. So. Yeah. It's going to be a little rapid fire.
It's a wrap up.
It will. I promise you, episodes 4, 5, and 6 will not be like this. So,
no.
Start it off, Ryan. Break down parts of the Phantom Menace, and I'll interject and let's do this.
Okay. So as I said, going into these, I really wanted to see the good.
Yeah.
And it was hard.
Yes.
I think we've learned there's not a lot of good, and especially I think the Phantom Menace is the worst. There's not a lot, though. This is something we didn't cover last week. There's a line, and it's my new favorite line.
Okay.
A little boy enters as Anakin's working on his pod racer, and he says, "Ah, oh, that's so wizard!"
Yeah.
And it's such a, I guess, asynchronous line. Like, it has no place.
It's trying to bring in new catchphrases, yeah.
I guess, so, which they already had Jar Jar, who was bringing all these catchphrases. But this little one that I never remembered as a kid watching these movies... Like, it stuck out, and I love that line, how weird it is, and how poorly it fits into this film.
Yeah.
It made me love it, because it was, like, so bad, I kind of loved it, and, like, that's...
So that's during the pod racing, but let's back this up. So this movie opens up...
Yes. Oh, okay, we're going back to the start.
We're just breaking it down again. We're watching these so people didn't have to, so it opens...
So this is just a catch-up for the people who are going to watch the new ones.
Yes. So, all right. Episode 1, it opens in space like almost all the other ones do. They all start off in space. It's kind of a theme, or at least these do, and I know A New Hope does.
Mm-hmm.
You're greeted with our two main characters, two Jedis, Qui-Gon Jinn.
And Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yes. They are coming to do some sort of boring diplomatic bullshit that is never fully explained or understood. That's one
trade
of the biggest
negotiations.
Flaws. Yeah, some sort of trade.
The Vegas.
There's
thing
a blockade. It's incredibly boring.
I guess the blockade's supposed to be a reference or callback to the first Star Wars.
I guess, but they're also blockading Naboo.
Yeah.
And it's really dumb.
A planet we don't know or care about yet.
So,
and I'd argue we don't care about even after the movie.
They're told to wait. The guys who are running the ship contact Emperor Palpatine, also known as Darth Sidious, who tells them to kill them. Of course you're not going to kill Jedi like that easily. They try to poison them. They get out. They escape to Naboo.
And this is after we're introduced to very racist Japanese characters.
Yes.
Or Asian, just Asian. We don't know what, but...
But they get to Naboo. We are met with Jar Jar Binks.
Yes.
And he takes them to his underground Gungan city, where he is an outcast.
I used to know the name of the city. I'm glad I don't anymore.
I don't either. And then they get another ship from those Gungans.
They save him. They save Jar Jar. Yeah, Jar Jar is going to be executed or punished for being an idiot. Like, they don't really say what he did, like his crime.
But Qui-Gon claims that Jar Jar saved him and he owes him a life debt or something of that sort. It totally ruins the whole Chewbacca life debt aspect, I feel. But
which I didn't know was a thing. I did not know that's why Chewbacca was with Han Solo.
Yeah.
I didn't know about the life debt.
That's something we can get into.
Yes, and we will.
Yeah. So... He saves them. They escape to Naboo. They meet up with the Queen Amidala.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, some other boring political bullshit happens, and they have to run away to Tatooine. I don't remember why. It's not fully explained. You don't either.
The editing and the storytelling is all just garbage.
Yeah. So
we're just whisked scenes away happen.
To Tatooine. Mm-hmm. We stumble upon Anakin Skywalker, a young boy.
Little boy.
Who
Little Annie.
Is a slave owned by Watto, him and his mom.
Racist Jewish character.
Yep. And then they get into pod racing to negotiate themselves out. Well, I guess they're in pod racing to win a part for Qui-Gon for their broken ship.
Mm-hmm.
And Qui-Gon has also bet Watto for the boy's freedom and release to him because he senses the Force sensitivity within him.
It's because of the midichlorians.
Which is also dumb. So he's... Pod racing happens. Your wizard line happens.
Yes.
At some point, Darth Maul has also discovered that they are here. I don't get why that is happening.
Nope.
But Palpatine has sent Darth Maul to finish the assassination of the Jedi.
It's just a sloppy period on the whole Tatooine thing. Darth Maul shows up for no reason.
It's dumb. It's kind of cool he's there. I like Darth Maul, but yeah, it's never explained. So the pod racing happens. Of course, Anakin wins. He wins his freedom. His mom doesn't get to go free. He's not torn up about that at all. He doesn't seem to care that he's leaving his mother into a life of slavehood.
Yeah.
So he goes off with Qui-Gon. Darth Maul shows up. There's a short fight. They escape after their ship is fixed in the nick of time.
Mm-hmm.
Where the hell do they go from there? Is it back to Naboo? No, it's to the council. No.
They go back to Coruscant. They go back to Naboo. Right?
No, because they go and they have the meeting in the Senate.
Is Coruscant like the floaty cloud? Well, they don't go to Coruscant then.
No, there's also Cloud City, and I think it's like Bespa. But Coruscant is like, I think that's like the Galactic Center.
Coruscant's the one with all the cars.
Yeah.
Like the very busy, bustling metropolis.
That's also in
metropolis place.
Episode 2, I believe.
Yeah, but I don't think they go to Coruscant. I don't think they go back there. I think they immediately go back to Naboo for some reason, and then we see the Queen on Coruscant with other people. But I don't think Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon ever go back to Coruscant until episode 2.
Okay. Well, Qui-Gon doesn't ever get there.
Spoiler.
Yeah. So then, okay, again, this is pretty bad. We tried to pay attention, people.
We really did.
If we're getting this much, you will maybe get more if you watch it. Don't, though.
And we'll be honest, like, how many times have you seen this movie?
A lot.
Me too, and I still can't tell you what's happening.
Yeah, exactly. So we end up back on Naboo. There's a giant fight between the Gungans and the Senate droids.
Yeah.
There's a giant battle. It's kind of cool.
No, I completely disagree. I think it's a cool concept.
Yeah, exactly. And I like some of the weapons, but I mean, as a whole, it's really silly and dumb.
Yeah, I think the primitive fighting style versus like this new robotic, technologically advanced race is a very cool idea, but then Jar Jar just fumbles his way.
Jar Jar wins via slapstick.
Yeah, like he gets stuck onto a droid and he tries to kick it off and the droid ends up shooting many other
droids.
Let's loose the energy balls that he chases and probably rolls around them. It's just all
at this point, Anakin
three
has...
stooges. It's three stooges.
He's on one of the ships, one of the battleships up in space. I forget how he gets up there.
Oh, because while he is in Naboo, he's fucking around in an air hangar, and he jumps into a ship that goes onto autopilot.
Oh, that's right.
It
autopilots up there.
Yeah.
That's correct.
I do remember that.
He was trying to be safe and hide. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets into a big star fight while eventually Darth Maul catches up to the heroes again, and that's when we have the only good part of the movie, Duel of the Fates, and the double...
Yes.
Fight between Qui-Gon, Obi-Wan, and Darth Maul.
Mm-hmm.
Darth Maul eventually cuts down Qui-Gon, and Obi-Wan eventually cuts down Darth Maul.
In half.
Yeah.
Not dead.
Yeah, he comes back in the expanded universe with robotic legs, and it's kind of cool. But anyways.
It is cool.
So at the end, Qui-Gon, as we have said, senses something in Anakin, takes him to the Jedi Council. They rejected him. Obi-Wan takes him back at the end of the movie and says that he's going to train him now and become his master.
Well, Qui-Gon was rejected because he already had a student.
Yes, which was Obi-Wan. And then when Qui-Gon died, Obi-Wan was promoted to a Jedi master and he took Anakin on.
And then there's a celebration.
There's a bastardization of the celebration from A New Hope.
A New Hope. Like, that's the thing that Lucas does, is he just references the originals so often. And is very reliant.
Remember when this was cool?
Yeah.
Well, now it sucks because of me. So
yes,
that's episode one. Not bad. We got that banged out.
Not bad, the discussion. Yeah, or not bad, the movie.
The movie is a total turd. I'm glad we got that done that quickly.
Yes.
So let's move on. Let's bang this out. Episode two.
Attack of the Clones.
How does this one start?
All right, it starts. Oh, my God. I don't even know how
it starts.
You
don't remember how this one starts? I remember
how
this one starts.
Oh, is it the Coruscant, right? Do they start? No. That's what it... Sorry. So Padme, or the Queen Amidala, whatever you want to call her, her ship is attacked, blown up on a ramp somewhere, and we find out it's not actually Padme or Amidala that is dead. It is her decoy slash handmaiden from the first one, who is a different character.
It's not.
It was Keira Knightley in Phantom Menace, and this one it's just
some unnamed chick who dies within 2 minutes.
Yeah. So obviously, Amidala's life is now threatened. There are forces moving against her. We are introduced to an older Anakin and Obi-Wan, who are served with her being her Jedi protectorate.
Which I didn't know Jedis were bodyguards, but
no.
For hey, what the fuck, let's do it for this movie.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Well, I think a Jedi can serve any kind of purpose.
But it seems, I guess it's plot driven.
It's plot driven.
So they end up protecting her.
He said.
And now you're saying this is Coruscant, and I think it is Coruscant.
I think it is. Because I don't think they ever go to a different planet. Like, it's this, they're protecting her in the same place.
They really don't get
where
very,
she gets attacked.
Get a lot of variations in their planetary travels in this one. It's
no.
Like four planets in the entire four early movies.
No, so. Which is what excites me about Force Awakens, because I know the names of the planets, and they're all different. Like, there is not a... It's like that planet that looks like Tatooine is called Jakku. It's a different planet. Like, I like that. Like, it's... George Lucas dipping into the well of what he knows. So they are served with being her bodyguards, and
another assassination attempt is taken out on her life by Jango Fett, father of Boba Fett.
Well, no,
he hires a separate bounty hunter to work through proxy. Yeah, which is one of the dumbest scenes. I don't think we touched on it in this earlier. So she can change the look of her appearance on a whim. Yet she wears a mask over her face anyways that can change whenever she wants.
Yeah.
What is going on there? It's so dumb.
It's so you know she's an alien. Isn't that Star Wars? Yeah. She's an alien?
So Amidala is attempted assassination.
That's foiled again.
Thank you, Anakin. What the fuck happens? This is the
one... So there's a cool car chase in Coruscant, which is all CG, and there's, I think, no energy or spark or, I don't know, nothing to get invested in. They foil her assassination attempt, and then that's where the movie...
Drops.
But, you know, I still think I can better explain this movie and what happens and why it happens in Phantom Menace. Because...
Okay, go. Please continue.
At this point, Anakin and Obi-Wan split up.
Yep.
Anakin and... Queen Amidala are sent to a planet. I don't know what it is.
I don't either. It's some grassy
I don't remember.
Planet.
Yeah. A pretty much a paradise planet.
Yeah.
A love honeymoon paradise planet. And they cultivate a relationship. So that's their arc. Obi-Wan is sent with finding out more about this assassination attempt, and he's trying to track down Jango, which leads him to the water planet, which I don't know the name.
I don't either, but they have those cool-looking aliens.
Yeah, with like the long necks. And this species is building a clone army for...
The Empire.
Or
they call it the Republic at this point.
The Republic.
They're not
right.
The Empire yet.
So essentially the bad guys.
Yes.
The good guys.
They are the good guys.
They are the good guys right now.
Yeah.
They will become the bad guys. And this is why it's so convoluted. So
I'm rolling my eyes, audience.
Yes. The good guys, the Republic, they are building a clone army, which are all a bunch of clones of Jango Fett, who... we find out has a son who is a clone of himself that he's going to raise without making like a fully grown man soldier.
The difference is all the other clones have been giving a growth hormone to make them grow incredibly fast to be ready to fight,
yes.
Whereas Boba Fett has not given that, so he will grow at a normal pace. And
Captain
he can...
America super soldier
yes.
serum.
So they're big, and they're all Jango Fetts.
Mm-hmm. Which is an interesting idea that I actually don't think it's an interesting idea. I'm trying to be positive, but I think it's really stupid to retcon the Stormtroopers as an offshoot of Boba Fett.
Yeah.
It really reeks of, like, people responding to Boba Fett in the third one. So I'm going to center, I'm going to just retcon everything and say, like, you like Boba Fett? Well, guess what? The stormtroopers are all actually Boba Fetts. They come from Boba Fett. Like, it just seems
I could see
backwards.
My interpretation was always that, like, yeah, that's the way it started, but you got to figure tons of those dudes died, and the clone yes. factory gets destroyed, so most of the stormtroopers, by the time we're into yeah, they're just people.
But the fact that it had to be
yeah, I know. I totally get what you're
from
saying.
Boba Fett, like, stupid. But
so they continue their love interest.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
Mm-hmm.
Obi-Wan's running around the galaxy.
Yes.
Nobody cares. We didn't really pay attention during this part. There's some.
In all honesty, I paid attention to everything except for the romance scenes between Anakin and Padme, because they are the weakest part of, I would say, the entire trilogy.
So
yeah,
we get there.
He doesn't like sand.
Then it's Obi-Wan gets captured, and then Anakin and Padme get captured while trying to save Obi-Wan, and he's on some planet that's giant insect alien people dudes, where they have a gladiator coliseum, which is where the movie takes its final conclusion at. And there's
it's like, I think a good 40 minutes are the ending. It's just like a big, long action
scene. There's three pretty cool-looking alien, two pretty cool ones and one silly one that Ryan doesn't like. It's a cat with just a giant mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And all three of them, Anakin, Padme, and Obi-Wan, have to fight a different one and kill it.
Yep.
And then the Jedi come in to save everybody through some distress beacon. Count Dooku is there.
Mm-hmm.
The Jedi come in and fuck everybody up. Jango Fett, this really cool character we were just introduced to, gets
beheaded.
A super anticlimactic death, which is a signature of these movies. Like, they're giant fantasy epics, and then people just die, and it's really blah.
Right.
Really,
I'm going to say counterpoint, though. Wouldn't you say, like, Obi-Wan, the first one, had a kind of...
You mean Qui-Gon?
Anticlimactic death. No, like in New Hope, when Obi-Wan gets struck down by Darth Vader. Isn't that a little bit anticlimactic?
What does happen? That's something we will talk about there, because he just disappears.
Well, he learns, like, Yoda, or doesn't Yoda say in the third one something like, you can learn to commune with your master, I'll teach you. So Obi-Wan essentially learns how he can be everlasting and communicate with Luke as a ghost form. And that's why he's okay with getting struck down.
So that's the big final fight. Mace Windu, played by Sam Jackson, cuts off Jango's head. Everybody lives happily ever after until...
The Clone Wars start in, like, the last 5 minutes. Like,
which
it's
is
like
something
a big war scene, which is, like, very interesting, and then the movie stops, like, as soon as it starts to get interesting.
There is also is this the Dooku-Yoda fight?
This is Dooku-Yoda fight,
okay, which was a big thing. It's kind of cool. It's a little blah, CG, like...
Yoda is a fucking pinball with a lightsaber bouncing
around.
The lightsaber
fights in the prequels have no weight compared to the...
Except for the Duel of the Fates one with
Darth Maul. That one is very good, and it's not CG, and...
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's how that one ends. And then we're on to episode 3. Revenge of the Sith.
Ooh. This is the one that some people like, that I still would say is a bad movie.
It is the best of the three, I think, is how it's often referenced.
It's the best of the three, but
I will agree.
Like, Kevin Smith, like, is a huge advocate. Like, he loves Revenge of the Sith.
It's not good.
It's not good.
It's not, you know. I like Kevin Smith. He's not perfect either.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Episode 3 is pretty terrible. So, episode 3 picks up. We have another space battle.
Mm-hmm.
And these weird ships.
I think one of the more interesting...
It's one of the better
scenes in the whole prequel trilogy. I love that. I kind of like the opening scene.
It's one of the better... It's of the prequels, it's the best opening scene, for sure.
Oh, for sure.
So that happens.
I think it starts off like the scroll, the title scroll says, like, the first word is war!
Yeah.
Exclamation point.
It's,
and, like,
really, really dumb.
That's what the opening scene is. It's just like the end of the Clone Wars, essentially. So we missed all the good stuff.
Yeah, you're going to have to watch that separately. We're not watching that shit for you.
Mm-hmm.
So it picks up. There's a giant space battle. Obi-Wan and Anakin are safe.
Yep.
And they return to, I believe, Naboo to talk with Padme again for some reason. And she pulls Anakin aside. They've secretly started a love affair. Did they get married at the end of 2 as well? Is that something that happened?
Yes,
they do. Okay,
yeah, because there's a shot of his robot hand holding her.
And then, so she announces to him that she's pregnant. Spoilers, this is going to be Luke and Leia.
Mm-hmm.
This movie is the arc from Anakin into Darth Vader. This is where this happens. It turns him into the dark side. Palpatine starts really turning the screws on him. Like,
yes.
He has him kill Count Dooku. That's what the space battle is. They're saving Palpatine from Dooku, who has kidnapped him.
Yes.
Which is all Sidious pulling the strings behind the scenes. They rescue him.
And we are introduced to Grievous in this time, General Grievous.
Who has a big fight scene with Obi-Wan, while Obi-Wan rides the most annoying fucking lizard in the entire world. I don't know, it's like
fucking
a dog lizard.
Every 5 seconds.
Every
it's
time
the
it's
worst.
On screen, it's going to scream twice. So that fight happens. Again, another anticlimactic death for such a giant, cool character, General Grievous. Mm-hmm. He just gets taken.
Well, he's Obi-Wan, all backstory.
Obi-Wan doesn't even kill him with a lightsaber. He shoots him with a blaster and burns his living organs out. It's really.
I do kind of like that he shoots Grievous and then throws the blaster down and he's like uncivilized. Because it's a callback from A New Hope. And I think it's one of the few callbacks that works.
So we're taking out from. I'm just trying to barrel through
this. I sidetracked you with my positivity.
You did. And I just want to get this over with.
Yes.
So that's the end. Well, no, it's not the end. That's the end of that fight.
That's the end of like the first act of a 3-act movie.
And then Anakin and Padme. Is this the one where Anakin kills?
Anakin starts having flashes of Padme dying.
Yeah.
And that's the big narrative thrust, is he has to save Padme because he's having images of the future of her dying, which we know because at the end of the movie, she dies in childbirth, and that's what the images are of. So it's this snake eating its own tail. He's going to come to the dark side to save her, but he's also pushing her to death.
Palpatine's telling her that, telling him that he needs to be more powerful if he wants to save her.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Which is very poetic, but done very poorly.
Yeah,
like,
it could have been awesome.
Well.
It was just
it's
god-awful.
It's a good
atrocious.
Idea. Handled poorly.
So he starts turning. He somehow
Palpatine seduces him. With,
Palpatine
you can
does.
Save her.
And then somehow Mace Windu figures out that Palpatine is Darth Sidious. I don't remember how that happened.
There's some lines. I think like Palpatine refuses to do some stuff, to comply with the Jedi Order. Like he's starting to go renegade a little bit, and he's getting a little bit more confident in his dark side. So
Mace Windu goes to arrest him.
Yes.
They have this giant battle. Palpatine shows off that he can throw force lightning.
Yeah.
Mace Windu redirects it back at him, which ages him 100 years.
Yeah. He also has the ability to overact and chew every fucking piece of scenery.
This is another thing where we disagree. I love the Palpatine in this movie. I love the overacting hamminess of it. This is one of the only times it really comes into a true Star Wars territory, I feel.
Oh, that hurts.
That's just me. That part. I like Palpatine in this. So Anakin comes in. Mace Windu's telling him, hey, it's like this, it's the devil angel on the shoulder scene. Mace Windu's like, you gotta help me, we gotta arrest him. Palpatine's like, he's hurting me, you gotta help me. Anakin eventually cuts off Mace Windu's hand, and Palpatine pushes him out the window, and he falls to his death. So, and then it's cats out of the bag. Anakin has gone full dark side.
Oh, very quickly. I think within the next 5 minutes, he's lopping down little younglings in the temple.
Yes. He kills
Jedi
the
temple.
Youngling Jedi trainees. Palpatine
saw Count Dooku's head roll earlier. I wish George Lucas had the balls to show us some youngling heads rolling around.
He would never. I agree. But
so
Palpatine calls out for Order 66.
Yes.
Which is a secret order that all the clones have. And they turn on all the Jedi that they have been fighting in the Clone Wars with. And almost all of the Jedi in the universe are wiped out.
So now Palpatine has control of essentially
everything.
The droids and the Rebel forces. Yep. Or not the Rebel forces, the Republic forces.
Yeah, the Republic forces. So he's gone full evil. He has Anakin under his heel, who's just trying to haphazardly save Padme from something that he doesn't know is going to happen. And for some reason, then he runs away to. Oh, Palpatine sends him to the volcano moon
planet. To Mustafar.
Yeah, to solve another dispute. He wants them to kill all of the Sith Council. Yeah. But they weren't the Sith Council.
They were all the bad guys. Because he killed the Japanese stereotype.
Yeah, characters. Exactly. And they weren't Sith guys. They were just the bad guys.
Or I guess
that
they
knew,
answered to Palpatine.
Yeah, but they knew Palpatine's secret, who he was, and all that shit. So. That's why I think Anakin had to kill him.
I disagree, and I don't think they knew his secret.
Really?
I honestly don't know why he was sent to kill them.
We're never told, really. Yeah. It's bad storytelling again. So he gets there, he kills him. Mm-hmm. Then Obi-Wan and Padme show up. Obi-Wan and Anakin have the big climactic fight.
Yep.
where somehow Obi-Wan ends up with the high ground, which I don't, he's like 5 feet above him, and these Jedi have been shown to jump 30 feet in the air.
Oh, yeah.
Somehow when Anakin does it this time, though, Obi-Wan is able to cut off his arms, yeah. Or I'm sorry, his arm and two of his, both of his legs, and leave him
in one fell swoop.
And this entire time they've been fighting less than like maybe a half a foot from this hot lava, but now suddenly Anakin is being burned alive and he's maybe like 5 feet from the lava. No consistency there.
Yeah.
They're jumping around this shit, not getting bothered by it at all. They're not even sweating. Now all of a sudden he's bursting into flames.
Well, I mean, yeah, there are so many plot points there. Like, the whole facility is guarded by a shield that has an on or off button.
Yeah.
Why would you make an on off button for a facility in fucking lava?
Yeah.
Like, you would never need that shield off for anything.
Never. So,
it's for spectacle that fails.
They fight. You find out how Anakin gets all fucked up. He gets almost all of his body burned. He's really angry. Palpatine shows up. Obi-Wan leaves him to die. Palpatine shows up and then rescues him and gives him the suit that he wears for the rest of his life that prolongs his life, keeps him alive, mm-hmm. but is basically like a walking iron lung, per se. He's all fucked up. None That's of his organs really work. He's That's more machine than man. And that is the birth of Darth Vader. He eventually fully comes around once we find out that Padme dies. Because she gave up the will to live or whatever the fuck the stupid robot says.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah,
we don't know why. She just, there are no medical reasons why she's failing. It seems like she has given up the will to live.
And it's dumb. So that's it. That's the three movies.
It's essentially just the arc of Anakin becoming Darth Vader.
We broke it down for you in much more detail there than we planned to. Yeah. But there it is. Don't watch them. That's going to be it. We're going to wrap up right there.
Yeah.
There's nothing else to say. I don't want to talk about these anymore.
No final thoughts?
No.
Okay.
No.
I like it.
Any from you?
No, I guess not, really.
All right. We warned you multiple times.
These movies are not Wizard.
They're not.
They are not Wizard.
Watch at your own risk. Thank you, everybody. Stick around for episodes 4, 5, and 6 coming soon.